This week's CD is in Parshas Toldos, and we are going to focus our shiur on chapter 25, verse number 22. But before that, we'll give a quick synopsis of what is going on in the Parsha. The Parsha starts that Rivka is barren, and Yitzchak is praying opposite his wife, meaning Rashi explains that Yitzchak is staying in one corner and Rivka in the other corner, and they each one is praying that the other one should have children. And Hashem answered Yitzchak's prayer, and Rivka became pregnant. Now we continue with the verse that's going to be the focus of our shiur. Vayisroitzu tzi'abanim bekirba, and the children crushed within her. Rashi explains that either they were fighting each other in regards to the inheritance of this world and the world to come, meaning that Esau decided that he wants the inheritance of this world, and Yaakov decided he's going to have the world to come. And the second interpretation is from the language Ratz, from the language that the children were running, meaning that when Rivka was passing a house of idol worship, then Esau was running to get out. And when Rivka was passing a house of learning, then Yaakov was running out. But Toimer, then Rivka said, Im Cain, if so, Lomo ze anoichi, what am I? Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem, and she went to ask Hashem. We are going to focus our shir on Vatoimer, and she said, Im Cain, if so, Lomo ze anoichi, what am I? Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem, and she went to ask Hashem. Rashi fills in the blanks, and Rashi says, Im Cain, in Godol tzal ha'ibur, if so much is great the pain of becoming pregnant, why do I desire and pray for getting pregnant? And she didn't know, therefore she went to ask Hashem. Rashi explains that she went to the Bes Medrash Shel Shem Ben Noach to find out what is happening. And according to Rashi, Shem Ben Noach answers it prophetically that she's going to have two nations from her womb. Rashi explains written Geyim. It's not written Goyim, so Geim comes from the word proud ones. Rashi explains that this is referring to two proud people that are going to come out of these two children of Esav and Yaakov, and they are Antanunis and Rabbi. Antanunis is referred to, according to most interpreters, as the Caesar Marcus Aurelius Antanunis, which was in the time of Rabbeinu HaKodesh, and he comes from Esav, and Rabbeinu HaKodesh is the one who wrote the Mishnah, and he comes from Yaakov, and they were very wealthy people. And Rashi explains that when he says, Shnei Geim Bevitnech, the two great nations is going to be in your stomach, that is referring to them. Dorachaim HaKodesh does not like Rashi's interpretation that she was complaining, Im Cain Godol Tzar HaIbur, if the pain of pregnancy is so great, because Dorachaim HaKodesh says that it is very petty to think that this great tzaddikus would despise her pregnancy just because she had pain. And besides, he explains that if that would be really her argument, then when Hashem tells her that she has twins, how is that going to appease her pain? She still has so much pain and she didn't want to take the pain. Then how is the answer going to help her question? Even though the Rachem HaKodesh asked this question, in truth, that is not such a good question. Because human nature tells you that when a person is ill and he has pains and he doesn't know the reason for the pains, and he goes to a doctor and the doctor gives him a diagnosis, even though the pain is still the same, nonetheless, now he's more relaxed about the pain because he knows what he has. The same thing happened here by Rivka. She didn't know why she had so much pain, but once prophetically it was told to her that she has twins inside her womb, then she understands what the pain is, and then it becomes more tolerable. But going back to Dorachaim HaKodesh, therefore Dorachaim HaKodesh explains that she thought the fact that they are crushing each other, that they are fighting with each other inside the womb, that her pregnancy won't be able to go full term, and she will lose the baby. Therefore she says, Im Cain, if that is so, that they are fighting each other, and I will lose these children, Lomo ze anoichi, what am I praying for? Pregnancy, and why did I put all this effort to ask Hashem to make a miracle that I should get pregnant if this baby won't be able to go full term? Therefore, she went Lidrosh Hashem, And Rachaim HaKadosh explains like the Ramban, because Ramban doesn't like Rashi's interpretation of Lidros Hashem, that she went to ask the prophet Shem ben Noach, because the Ramban says that we never find the term Lidros Hashem as asking a prophet something. Therefore, the Ramban explains that Lidros Hashem means to pray, meaning that you go to consult Hashem, meaning you go to pray to Hashem. And the Rachaim HaKadosh continues and says that she went to pray to Hashem, that Hashem should make that this child should go full term. But the Rachaim finishes and says, "Ulo'olam lo hikpida al tzar ha'iroin," and we have to say that she never worried about the pain of pregnancy, like that she says, "Ki atzadikim yisablu tzar gadol bo'olam hazeh," because the righteous people are willing to withstand great pains in this world, "letachlis toiv anitzchi," for the ultimate eternal good, meaning that clearly Rivka Imenu would not complain if it would be just for the pain. The Sephorna gives exactly the same interpretation as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, meaning that her worry was if the child is going to survive or not. And she said that if the child is not going to survive, what am I praying for? Devin Ezra gives an interesting interpretation. Devin Ezra explains that she went around asking other women if they ever had such pain. And all the women said that they never had such a pain. And she said, "Im ken hadavar," if that is the way the things are, v'aminak, and the custom, that people don't have pain, "lama ze anoichi," why am I different than everybody else? Meaning that she consulted all her women friends, and they all said that they never encountered such pain. And she said, "Im ken," if that is so, meaning if the minak is not to have so much pain, why do I have so much pain? Sefer Shemen Roish wants to interpret the verse "Im ken lama ze anoichi" in a different way, but before he answers this, he brings the pasuk in the end of Parshas Chayesara, chapter 24, verse number 67, where the verse is discussing the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, and there the verse says, "Va'avieo Yitzchak," and Yitzchak brought her, "Ho'ehela," normally translated, "to the tent," Sara Imoy, and Rashi is bothered because the language "Ohelo" is not proper, because it should have just said "Vayaveu Yitzchok Ohelo Sara Imoy," to the tent of Sara, his mother. But here is written that Yitzchok brought her "Ohelo" into the tent, and then Sara Imoy, the continuation of the verse, has no meaning. Therefore, Rashi says that he brought her "Ohelo" to the tent. And as soon as he brought to the tent, it was like Sarah's mother was there. Rashi explains that while Sarah was alive, the candle that she lit on Friday remained lit from one Friday before Shabbos to the next Friday. And also, there was a blessing in the dough. And also, there was a cloud tied to the tent. And as soon as Sarah passed away, those things stopped. But when Rivka came to the tent, all those things came back. Therefore, it was like Sarah Imoy, like Sarah's mother was still there. And Sefer Shemen Roish says that this idea that the candles were lit from Friday night to Friday night, it is also alluded into the term that he came into the tent. The tent is specifically alluding to the candles that were lit from Friday night to Friday night. And he explains, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peiches 88a, where the Gemara there says that Dor Rabbi Simoer, Simoer expounded and says that when the Jewish people said, when we received the Ten Commandments, Nase v'nishma, that we will do and we will hear, meaning that we preceded doing to hearing, then 600,000 ministering angels came down from heaven, corresponding to every Jew that said that, and put on each Jew two crowns, one for Nase, one for them saying that we will do, and one for Nishma, and one for saying that we will hear, meaning that we will do what Hashem tells us, and we will hear what Hashem tells us. But as soon as the Jewish people sinned in the golden calf, then 1,200,000 destructive angels came down, and they took away their crowns, meaning that originally one angel put two crowns on the heads of the Jewish people. But when it took away, it was required to have a separate angel to take away each crown. Therefore, 1,200,000 angels came down to take away the two crowns on top of the 600,000 Jews. And the Gemara brings a verse to that effect, which is in Shmos, chapter 33, verse number 6, where he says, "Vayisnatzlu bnei Yisrael es edyom me'har Choref," that the children of Israel were stripped from their jewelry on Mount Choref. And their jewelry is referring to their crowns. The Gemara continues and says, "Omar Rabbi Yochanan," Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'kulon zacha Moshe unetalon," and all these crowns, the 1,200,000 crowns that the Jewish people had, Moshe Rabbeinu merited and took them all. The Samechlei, because right after the verse where it says that the Jewish people removed their crowns, on Shmos chapter 33, verse number 7, it's written, Moshe ikach es oil, Moshe is going to take his tent. And Rashi explains that the Gemara is playing with the words, since it's written in Iyuv chapter 29, verse number 3, Behiloi neiroi alai, the lamp should shine over my head, which hiloi comes from the word oil. So Moshe Rabbeinu will take the oil, it means he'll take that shine from all these crowns that the Jewish people lost. And Rashi continues and says that this is the kirun oir panov, that this is the shine that Moshe Rabbeinu got on his face when he came down from the mountain. In the end of Parshas Kisisa, on chapter 34, verse number 30, that Vina Koron Oirponov, that the face became radiant, it became radiant from all the crowns that Moshe Rabbeinu took from the Jewish people. Meaning the Jewish people lost it because they did the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them and didn't do the golden calf, so he merited to have those crowns given to him, and they represented the light that shone out of him. Therefore, Sefer Shemeroish says, we see from that Rashi that the word oil has to do with light, with radiance. Therefore, since here in our verse by Yitzchak it's written that he brought it, oh hello, then we know it has to do something with radiance. And the question is, what radiance can we be referring now? Therefore, we interpret that there was a candle lit from Erev Shabbos, from Friday, until Erev Shabbos, until Friday, and that was the radiance. Sefer Shemeroish now continues and says that now we understand that there was a miracle in a way, that the candles were lit from Erev Shabbos, from Friday, until Erev Shabbos, until Friday. But why is this necessary? And what is the point of this miracle? What is it teaching us? And he continues and says that we find the same miracle happened also in a way in the Beis HaMikdash. Because Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes 39 brings down that during the 4 years that Shimon HaTzadik served as a Kohen Gadol, Hayoner Maravi Doilek, the western candle was always burning. Rashi explains that even after all the other candles were extinguished, that candle remained burning. And the question is, what is the point of having this miracle that a candle is always burning? We could always light a candle anew, so what is the point of that miracle? Sefer Shemeroish answers based on the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Beis Omed Aleph 12a, where there the Gemara brings down the verse on Bereshis chapter 1, verse number 4, where the verse says, "Vayara Elokim es haor ki tov," Hashem saw the light that is good. The Gemara there says, "Omar Rabbi Elazar says, Oir shebara kodesh baruch hu, the light that Hashem created b'yom rishon on the first day, adam tzoyfe boy misoyfe oilam ad tzoyfei. A person could look from one end of the world until the other end of the world. Kiven shenistakla kodesh baruch hu b'dor ha'mabul. As soon as Hashem saw the generation of the flood, the dor ha'floga, the generations of the dispersion, shemaseim mekulkalim, that their actions are corrupted, Omad, he stood up, v'gonzu letzadikim tzosid lovoi, and hid this light for the righteous people to the future. Shenemar, because it's written, v'yara Elokim esor kitov, Hashem saw the light that is good, v'ein toiv elo tzadik, toiv, good, is referring to a tzadik, to a righteous person, because the verse in Yeshaya chapter 3 says, imru tzadik kitov, say a tzadik that he is good, so we see that good is referring to a righteous person. Therefore, Hashem left that light for the righteous person. And since we are blessing Chodesh Kislev, the month of Kislev, which is the month that we celebrate Chanukah, Sefer Bnei Yisachar, in the topic of Chanukah, Mamar Beis, Osu Gimel, writes down the name of the Kadmonim, who say that Hashem hid that light in the Torah, Therefore, when a person innovates something in the Torah, he gets part of that light. And that is the reason why Torah is called light. Because through learning Torah, he is able to reveal more and more of that hidden light. And each person, according to his toil and according to his learning of Torah, is able to reveal this hidden light and is able to see hidden things in the world. Therefore, he says that we see that tzaddikim, righteous people, are able to see far, even what's happening in heavens, because they have part of that light. And the Bnei Yisrael continues and says that therefore the Baal Rokeach writes down that the rabbis specifically established that we should light on Chanukah 36 candles, because on Chanukah we light on the first night 1 candle, second night 2 candles, third night 3 candles, the fourth night 4 candles, the fifth night 5 candles, the sixth night 6 candles, the seventh night 7 candles, and the 8th night 8 candles. And if you add up all the candles, it ends up being that we lit a total of 36 candles, and that is equivalent to the original light of the sun that was hidden after it was in effect for 36 hours. The Rokeach is referring to what is written in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Yud Aleph, Simon Beis, and it's clear when Yalkut Shimoni, Tehillim, Remes, Tov, Mem Gimel, where there, Rab Levi, in name of Rab Zira, says, it's written, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, a song to Shabbos day, Shelo Shimsho Imo Yafela, that there was no darkness in the Shabbos day, meaning that you find that every day, the Medrash continues and says that you find that every day of the week it's written, Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker, that there was night, there was day, on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, but on Shabbos it's not written that there was night, there was day, Shabbos day. He explains that in truth there was no night during the Shabbos day, that the original sun was lit for 36 hours, meaning that the original sun, knowing that it's not going to be shining as its original strength, did not want to set on Friday night, and it remained lit 12 hours of Friday day, 12 hours of Friday night, which is Shabbos, and 12 hours of Shabbos day. It only set on Motzei Shabbos. And the Medrash continues that at that time Adam HaRishon got scared because it was the first time he saw darkness, because Adam HaRishon was created on the sixth day. He didn't see darkness until Motzei Shabbos. Hashem gave him two stones and he brought out fire from them. Therefore, on Motzei Shabbos, we make the blessings at the Avdala. Boire me'oire ho'esh, Hashem who created the lights of fire. As an aside, Meforshim ask, if the sun did not set on Friday night, how did Shabbos come in? Shabbos only comes in after the sun sets. This question is already referred to by the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer innovates and says that if the sun is going to set in the next 24 hours, then we count the next day from sunset. But if the sun is not going to set the next 24 hours, then we count 24-hour periods as a day. Another question Meforshim ask is that this Medrash seems to contradict the Gemara, because the Gemara says that it's written on the first day, Vayara Elokim es ha'or ki tov, Hashem saw the light that is good, and at that time Hashem hid the light for the righteous people. Then how is it possible that the sun was completely strong at the sixth day for mankind, and only after Shabbos it should have been diminished even before Hashem created the sun? Therefore, Meforshim explained that Hashem waited till Adam actually sinned, and at that time, since Adam sinned, and there is now corruption to the world, and the reason why Hashem didn't want to keep the light is because he didn't want that corrupted people should benefit from this special light. Therefore, now Hashem declared that the sun should diminish its power and the light should be diminished, meaning that until Adam sinned, Hashem kept that decree hanging, but once Adam sinned, that decree came into effect, and the sun, knowing that it's not going to shine anymore in the same strength the next day, meaning after it goes down on Friday night, therefore the sun did not set until Motzei Shabbat, until Saturday night. But going back to our discussion, where Sefer Shemeroish explains that based on this Bnei Sashar, we have to interpret when it says that Hashem heed this light for the tzaddikim, la'asid lavoi, for the future, and normally it would be interpreted as Hashem heed this light for the tzaddikim for the world to come, which is in the future. But clearly, since the Bnei Yisachar says that any righteous person could tap in to that hidden light by learning Torah, then clearly when it says that Hashem hid this light for the righteous people, le'asid lavoi, to the future does not mean to the world to come, it means to the righteous person that will come into being in the future. Sefer Shemirosh continues and says that this light is not only revealed on Hanukkah, where we light the 36 candles, but it's also revealed any time a person is required and has a mitzvah to light a candle, is able to reveal the hidden light. For example, a person lights the candles of Shabbat, is able to reveal that hidden light. And he brings a Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Yud-Aleph, Siman Beis, where the Medrash says, "Vayvorech Elokim es Yom HaShvi," Hashem blessed the seventh day. Rabbi Elazar Oymer, Rabbi Elazar says, "Baruch Ebener," that Hashem blessed it with a candle. What does it mean if a candle? Rabbi Elazar continues and says, "Ubi Ayomase," and with me was a story like that, that once I lit the candle on Friday night, and I found it still lit on Motzei Shabbos, and there wasn't missing any oil, meaning that the candles got blessed, that the light became by itself and was blessed, that there wasn't missing any oil. Rabbi Elazar continues and says, that Baruchoy Boriponov Shalodom, that Hashem blesses Shabbat by the light in the countenance of a person, meaning that the face of the person shines on Shabbat. Kochoy Boriponov Shalodom, Hashem sanctified Shabbat through the light that shines on the person's face on Shabbat, meaning that during the week the light does not shine on the person, but on Shabbat we see a special light shining on this person. Rab Shimon Bar Yehuda says in Nev Rab Shimon that even though Hashem told the luminaries, i.e. the sun, to diminish before Shabbat, nonetheless, Hashem did not make it, in fact, diminish till after Shabbat. Meaning, the sun did not diminish its strength till after Shabbat. And he says, Baruchoy, that Hashem blessed the Shabbat be'oira with light. Meaning, that Hashem gave honor for Shabbat, and Hashem did not let the sun diminish its strength on Shabbat. Sefer Shemirosh says that we see from here that Hashem wants that Shabbat should be part of the Oragonos of the hidden light, that Hashem did not want the sun to be diminished on Shabbat, because Hashem wanted that people enjoying Shabbat should enjoy the Oragonos, the hidden light. And also Hashem told us to light candles on Shabbat, because the candles reveal the hidden light on Shabbat. Therefore, while the candle is on, we enjoy the hidden light. And if a person is of a higher level, like Rabbi Elazar, then he could enjoy the hidden light from the beginning of Shabbat until Motzei Shabbat, and his candle is the proof that the candle was burning all Shabbat, and it didn't diminish anything from the oil, because the candle is signified by the hidden light, the Oragonos, and since Rabbi Elazar was a holy man, he was able to keep the holiness of the Oragonos of the hidden light going until Motzei Shabbat. But clearly, Sara Imenu, which was a very holy person, she was at the level that she could keep that hidden light Me'erev Shabbat from Friday until Erev Shabbat, until the next Friday. She could keep that hidden light going the whole week because she was in such a high level that she could do that. And when she died, that light was extinguished, meaning that light did not remain lit for the whole week. But when Rivka came, Rivka was able to again make that light go from Friday until the next Friday, because she was able to bring that Kedusha, that holiness of the hidden light, for the whole week. Now Sefer Shemirosh brings from Sefer Amodeo Shiva, where the Sefer explains what is written in Bamidbar, Chapter 8, verse number 3, where there Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aharon that when he lights the candles, he should make sure that the lights face the middle of the menorah, meaning the face of the menorah. And then the verse continues and says, Vayaskein Aharon, Aharon did so, emul pnei menorah, elon eroseyo, towards the face of the menorah, he lit his candles, Kasher Tzivo Hashem as Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, and everybody is bothered since it's written what Aharon did, why you have to say Vayas Kein Aharon, and Aharon did so. And Rashi brings a very interesting comment. Rashi says, Lahagit Shvocho Shel Aharon, to tell the praise of Aharon, Shelo Yishino, that he did not deviate, meaning that he did exactly what Hashem told him. And Mefarshim asked, why would you think that Aharon would do something different than Hashem told him? And in truth, there are many different answers to this question, but we are going to focus on the answer that Sefer Amudei Shiva brings down. Sefer Amudei Shiva says that you are going to take a look at the story of creation, you're going to see that besides the first day, you'll find that every time Hashem commands something to be created, right afterwards it's written, Vayi Chen, and it was so. For example, on the second day it's written on verse number 7, Vayi Chen, and it was so. On the third day it's written on verse number 11, Vayi Chen, and so it was. And on the fourth day it's written on verse number 15, Vayi Chen, and so it was. And when Hashem created the animals, it's written on verse number 24, Vayi Chen. And then it's written after man was created on verse number 30, Vayi Chen. The only time that it's not written Vayi Chen, that there was so, is on the first day after Hashem said, let there be light. There it's not written Vayi Chen, that it was so. And he explains the reason why it's not written it was so is because it was not so, meaning that Hashem originally created the light much stronger, but he saw that the corrupted people will benefit from that light. Therefore, Hashem told the light to diminish itself. Therefore, it cannot be written Vayi Chen. It was so because it wasn't so as Hashem wanted. Hashem changed what he originally wanted, and therefore you can't write down Vayi Chen and it was so. Because some of the light that Hashem created the world was hidden for the tzaddikim, for the righteous people, l'asid lavoi, for the future. According to this, Sefer Amudei Shiva writes down that when Aharon led the Menorah, since Aharon was such a holy man, he was able to bring the hidden light in the Menorah, he was able to bring back the Or HaGanus. Therefore, by Aharon it's written, Vayas Kein Aharon. Aharon was able to do so, meaning the so that was supposed to be originally during creation, for Aharon, that so became established, because Aharon was able to bring back the full hidden light that was hidden for the tzaddikim, for the righteous people, for the future. Therefore, Rashi says, Lahagit Shvachar Shel Aharon, to tell the praise of Aharon, Shelo Yishino, that there was no change, that Aharon was able to bring back the Cain, the soul, as it was during creation. There was no change from creation. Aharon was able to light the menorah and have such holiness that he was able to bring back the Cain, the way it's supposed to be when Hashem created the world. Comes out that Sarah Imenu and Rivka Imenu, since both of them were able to bring the light from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, from Friday to Friday, that means that they were able to bring the hidden light for the whole week, then obviously they also were able to tap in to the Chen, to the way it was during creation, meaning that in the same way that Hashem wanted to create a world with its full light, they, Sarah Imenu and Rivka Imenu, were able to bring that light to the same level, because they were very righteous people. Then Sefer Shemirosh brings the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph 12a, where there the Gemara brings the verse in Shemos chapter 2, verse number 2, where it's talking about Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother, and it says, Vataro Isha, that the woman conceived Vatelet Ben, and she gave birth to a son. The Gemara there says, Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvina, Rav Yehuda Bar Zvina says, Makish Leidasa Veirasa, it's comparing her act of giving birth to the act of conceiving. Mahoiroso Shloi Betzar, in the same way she conceived without pain. Afleidoso Shloi Betzar, she also gave birth without pain. The Gemara continues, Mikan, from here you learn, Le Noshim Satkonius, that the righteous woman, Shloi Oyo Bepisco Shlo Chava, that they were not affected by the punishment of Chava. Meaning that part of the punishment of Chava is that women will have pain during childbirth, but if you are a righteous person, then you do not have pain. And we learned that from Yocheved, that the Torah writes down that she conceived and she gave birth. The Torah didn't have to write down that she conceived and gave birth, but the Torah wants to compare the same way that she conceived, she didn't have pain, so too when she gave birth, she didn't have pain, that righteous women do not have pain when they give birth. Based on this, Sefer Shemerosh explains that this is exactly what Rivka Imenu is complaining. Rivka Imenu says that obviously I'm a holy woman, because since the candle is lit from Friday to Friday, and this only happens to righteous women, then why am I having so much pain during this pregnancy? And therefore she says, Im Kain, if that is so, meaning, if I'm able to bring back the soul in the same way that it was during creation, where Hashem did not say Vayichain, because Hashem diminished the light of the sun, because Hashem didn't want the evil people to enjoy that light, but righteous people are able to bring back the chain, the soul, in the same way that Aharon brought back the soul, so too did Sara Imenu and Rivka Imenu bring back the soul. So Im Kain, if it's so that I'm able to bring back the hidden light that was saved for the righteous people, then obviously I am righteous. Then Lamo Zeh Anochi, then why am I having so much pain? If I'm righteous, then I shouldn't have any pain, and yet I have pain. Therefore she went to ask Hashem, and Hashem told her that the reason you have pain is because you have a good child and a bad child, and the pain comes because of Esav, the bad child. The Yalkut Ahurim brings this same idea in a short version. He says that based on the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samech Dalet Omed Aleph 64a, where there the Gemara asks, Omar Rabitzchok says, Mipneima Oyo Avoseinu Akurim, why were our forefathers barren? Meaning that all our forefathers, Avraham, Sarah, Yitzchok, and Rivka, were barren. The Gemara answers, Mipnei Shekodesh Baruch Hu Misave Letfilosom Shel Tzadikim, because Hashem desires the prayers of the righteous. Meaning that Hashem wants the righteous to pray for it, and Hashem wants to hear the prayers, therefore He prolongs their suffering, so they will pray more. Then according to this Gemara, the Yalkut Haurim explains that this is exactly what Rivka was complaining. Rivka was complaining that you made me barren. If you made me barren, then obviously the reason is because you desire the prayers of the righteous. That means that you hold me to be a righteous person. And if I'm a righteous person, then why am I having so much pain? Since righteous women do not have pain. Therefore she asks, Im Kain, if it is so much pain, meaning that obviously I am not righteous, Lamo Zeh Anochi, why did you make me pray for so long? Why didn't you give me a child right away so you don't have to wear my prayers? Because since obviously because of the pain I am not righteous, and if I'm not righteous, then there's no reason for you to make me barren because you don't want to hear my prayers. Therefore she complained, Im Kain, if I'm having so much pain, Lamo Zeh Anochi, why am I praying to become pregnant? Because I don't need to pray. You should have made me pregnant right away, so I don't have to pray, since obviously I am not righteous for the fact that I'm having so much pain during this pregnancy. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Samach Gimel, Simen Vav, brings down in the name of Ravuna, that Ravuna says that Rivka Imenu says, Im Kach Ani Osit Lahamit Shneim Oser Shvatim, if that is the way that I am supposed to bring up the 12 tribes, Halavai Loi Barti, I wish I did not become pregnant. Meaning that Rivka Imenu was destined to have all the 12 tribes. But when she saw that, when she runs to the house of idol worship, one child runs to it, then she thought that she's going to have a child that likes to have idolatry, she says, if I am destined to have the 12 tribes, that way, I wish I did not become pregnant. I am not interested in having the 12 tribes if one of my children wants to go to the house of idolatry. And therefore, she only had these two children. And he explains that Lomo Zeh, the numerical value of the word Zeh, is 12, because the Zayin is 7, the Hey is 5. So she said, Lomo Zeh Anochi, why am I having the 12 tribes? Because since one of them is not meritorious because he's running to the house of idolatry, then I'm not interested in having 12 tribes that aren't going to unify Hashem's name. Which, in a way, brings the same idea as the Vilna Gaon, because the Vilna Gaon says that Rivka Imenu thought that she has one child that goes to both places, a child that goes to the house of Avodah Zarah and a child that goes to the house of study, meaning that the child likes to have both ways. Then she said, if that is so, how is it possible that this child will receive eventually the Ten Commandments that started with Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God? Because since this child does not believe in Hashem, because it goes to the house of idolatry, then clearly he does not deserve to have Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God, that testifies of the oneness of Hashem. And therefore the Vilna Gaon explains that she went Lidrosh as Hashem to ask Hashem, meaning to ask Shem ben Noach. Even though the Ramban asks on Rashi that we never see Lidrosh as Hashem to ask Hashem as going to a prophet to talk, we always see Lidrosh as Hashem as going to pray, but the Vilna Gaon brings from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis 41b and many other places in Shas, that there the Gemara brings down that Shimon Ho Amsoni, and some say that Nehemiah Amsoni, Hayodoyresh Kol Esen Shebetoyra, every time it's written the word S in the Torah, which S means something connected to it, Shimon Amsoni was able to expound all the times it's written the word S in the Torah, Kivin Shegia, but as soon as he came to the verse that says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you should fear Hashem, in Dvarim chapter 6, verse number 13, and there it's written Es Hashem Elokecha, which seems to be something connected to Hashem that we have to fear. Therefore, he figured that there is nothing to write the S. So Pirush, he did not expound anymore the words S. The students asked him, all the Esin that you did until now, what is going to be of them? Meaning that clearly if you can't expound one, then all the other ones don't need to be expounded. So he answered, in the same way that I received reward for expounding them, meaning that I tried to give an interpretation for every time it's written the word as, so too I'll get a reward for stopping, for not expounding it. The Gemara says, Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came, v'limet, and he taught us, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you should fear Hashem. The S means something connected to Hashem. And who is connected to Hashem? The Rabbo is Talmid HaChomim, that comes to include Torah scholars, meaning that Torah scholars are connected to Hashem, and you require to fear and revere Torah scholars. The Vilna Gaon says, based on this Gemara, we see that when it's written S Hashem means somebody connected to Hashem, which means Torah scholars, and since here it's written Vatelech Lidroish es Hashem, and she went to ask Hashem, but it's written the S, it means somebody connected to Hashem, which means Torah scholars. Therefore, she went to the yeshiva of Shem ben Noach to ask in prophecy what is going to happen. And as a matter of fact, the continuation of the Medrash Rabbah that we just mentioned also brings down that she went to the Bes Medrash of Shem ve'Ever in support of Rashi. Sefer Kilas Mordechai wants to explain what was bothering Rivka based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis 91b. There the Gemara brings a story in regards to Antonunis, which is Marcus Aurelius Antonunis and Rabbi. And the Gemara there says that Antonunis asked Rabbi, when does the evil inclination comes in into a person? Does it come as soon as it becomes embryo? Or does it come only after the child is born? Rabbi answered him that it comes when the child becomes an embryo, meaning that as soon as the child is created inside the womb, you already get evil inclination. And Antonunis asked him if that is true, that the child would kick at his mother and want his independence and go out prematurely and die. Therefore, Antonunis says that the evil inclination comes into a child at the moment of birth. Rabbi continues and says that Dovor ze limatoni Antonunis, and Antonunis taught me this. Umikra Messiah, you have a verse to give support to Antonunis, because the verse writes down in Bereshit chapter 4, verse number 7, Le Pesach Chatos Roivitz. that the sin crouches at the door, which means crouches at the moment of birth. According to this, the Kilas Matra explains that this is what was bothering Rivka Imenu. Rivka knew that the evil inclination usually comes to a person only when the child is born. And yet, she sees something very weird within her, that when she goes to the house of idol worship, a child wants to come out. Esav wants to come out. She couldn't understand what is going on. Therefore, she went to ask Hashem, what is the halacha? What is going on? When does the evil inclination come into a person? And Shem ben Noach told her that Shnei Geim bevitnach, the two great men, are in your womb. As we mentioned earlier, the two great men are Antanunis and Rabbi. And Shem ben Noach was telling Rivka Imenu that this is basically the machloikas of Antanunis and Rabbi. That Rabbi holds that the child gets a even collation as the moment of creation, meaning as soon as it becomes an embryo. And Antanunis holds that the child gets even collation only when it's born. And Hashem Yisbor should help that what Rivka Imenu saw besoifa at the end is that Rav Yavoy Tzoyer, that the oldest one will serve the younger one, meaning that our subjugation will stop and will merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.